Part 9 out of 10 parts, we're going to be looking at Daniel 9, Daniel's 70-week prophecy for Israel. But before we do that, just leading into it, we're going to look at an Israel event that we've closed with yesterday, actually, about Israel's prophecy fulfillment, resuming the fulfillment of it. Let's look in Romans 11, verse 25 through 29. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness, in part, is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God isn't going to change his mind about the promises he made to Israel. So all Israel shall be saved. We talked about yesterday about the Gentiles coming into the body of Christ, and when the fullness of them have come in, the very last one, Israel's blindness is up until that point. Their blindness in part, as it says here. And then it says, so Israel shall be saved. And if you notice in verse 26, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Verse 27, for this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. And that's what Peter said, that the Lord would take away, this is Acts 3:19, that the Lord would take away their sins when he returns. When Christ returns, he blots out their sins. And that's confirmed by, or it's initiated, one of the earlier references about it is Jeremiah 31, verse 33. I can't quote that right offhand here. Let me just put it up there. That was Jeremiah 31, 33. And it goes, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, write it in their heart. That's not the verse. Maybe it is 34 after all. Yes. Okay. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Well, that comes after Hosea said that he's not going to be their God, and they will not be his people. So they're brought back, in other words. God, the Lord brings them back by pouring out on them the spirit of grace and supplication. So here's the verse I was looking for. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them until the greatest of them, saith the Lord. Here it is. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. When? When he comes back. When he institutes that new covenant. That part of that is their forgiveness of their iniquity, the blotting out of their sins. So, going on back over to Romans 11, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. Through the fall of Israel, salvation came unto the Gentiles. That was back, 10, 11, 12 verses earlier, Romans 11, 11. But as touching the election, the election, they're beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance, changing of mind. All right, let's go on to the next Israel event here that we've got, tried to put them in order. Daniel's 70 weeks of years. And this vision didn't come next, you know, after Paul wrote Romans in Acts 29. It came much earlier, but it begins to apply after, you know, after we read yesterday about the catching up of the body. Well, let's read it. Daniel received a vision that 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. So who does the vision, who is it regarding? It's regarding thy people, the Israelites. And upon thy holy city, Israel and Jerusalem. And the things it's about, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins. And it's interesting that they make a distinction between those two. Pardon me. And to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. Know therefore, and understand that, and by the way, understanding, that's the Word of God. That's what, almost every time you see wisdom and understanding together like that, or even here like this, it means the Lord revealed something, had it written down for us to understand. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, 72 weeks. So 7 weeks, or you know, a week is seven. Seven sevens will be 49. Plus 64, that's 20 and 2, 60 and 2 was 62, 62 and 40. No, I'm mixing up years and weeks, aren't I? 62 plus the 7 weeks would be 69 weeks. So that's almost all of the 70 weeks, just one left, in other words. But the thing to remember out of this one, this part, is that you've got 7 weeks, then you've got 62 weeks. And they come in that order, and that's the full time. The streets will be built again in the wall, even in troublous times. Verse 26, and after 62 weeks. So after that 7 weeks comes the 62 weeks. And after the 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. But not for himself. He had no sin. It was for our sins that Christ died. But not for himself. And the people of the prince shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations. Desolations are determined. So we're in desolate... I mean, that land has been in desolation for a long time. Verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant. He who? Well, whoever. Let me go on. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. In the middle of the week. So all those that got sucked into the Antichrist's worship there in the temple, instead of fleeing, Hebrews 13 and 14, going outside the gates of the city and fleeing, they'll be surprised. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Excuse me a minute, please. Look in Jeremiah 30, verse 5 we'll start with. Jeremiah 30, verse 5. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. But he, Jacob, shall be saved out of it. Whose trouble is it? Is it Gentiles' trouble? Is it body of Christ trouble? It's Jacob's trouble, Israel's trouble. Verse 8, for it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off his neck, and will burst thy bonds, break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst his thy bonds. And strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel. For, lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet I will not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. So there's the Lord's preview, I guess. You know, that's what's going to happen. Zechariah 12, let's look at verses 9, 10, and 11. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day there shall be great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddo. Let's look in the New Testament now. Matthew 24, verse 14, we'll start with. And this gospel of the kingdom. What was the gospel of the kingdom? That the kingdom is at hand. And because the kingdom is at hand, and because of that gospel, they're to repent. Repent of going astray. So, repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe that the kingdom is at hand. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. The kingdom is still out there, but it's not an at-hand kingdom. That gospel is not being preached anymore. It's not good news that now, you know, within the next few days or the next few years, the kingdom is here. It's not here yet. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So the end will come shortly after it's preached that the kingdom is at hand, when it's rightfully preached again. When you therefore see the abomination of desolation, and that's similar to what we just read there in, it says spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Stand in the holy place. When you see the abomination, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. In other words, you'll understand when it comes about that this is what we've been talking about. It'll be a mystery till then, in other words. Verse 16, let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. It's almost like what the Lord told Paul, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony. Verse 19, and woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. There's one of those five types of signs of Satan. The deceiver is deceiving. He's showing signs. He's got power. Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Verse 25, behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he's here, and he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And next verse. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, so he's just described the tribulation period. And if you go back to verse 3, he was describing the destruction of the temple, the tribulation, and the end of days, the end of that age, I think it's called. Immediately after the tribulation of those, so this is the third part. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Excuse me, just a minute. And then, let's see, verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And so shall, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds. Remember, they had left the temple, they had fled, they didn't fall for the Antichrist, they've gone, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And that's not, you know, that's, they're not the only ones. There were some that were scattered from the Babylonian exile, scattered from the Assyrian exile, Egyptian. I don't know about the Egyptian exile, but or the time in Egypt there that the Exodus occurred from. But from Saul of Tarsus's persecution, there it says they were scattered there in Acts 8 and 9. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And let's jump now to Revelation, trying to keep in the flow of the context. It picks up in Revelation 17, verse 7. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was, and is not. He shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here, verse 9, and here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, he is the eighth and is of the seven. and goeth into perdition. Verse 12, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom yet, as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. And I'm not sure what that, pardon me, just a minute please, hold on. Okay, sorry about the delay. Now I lost my place. Here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Goeth into perdition. I'm looking down here. Oh, 12. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Oh, yeah, I was going to say, I've often tried to figure that out, that 1 hour. You know, if 7 days is actually 7 years, what would 1/24th of a day be? 1/24th of 7 years. How long would that be? I never actually got to figuring it out. I got lost in the calculations or something. I don't know. But it would be, I guess, 1/20. It would be what? 7 years divided by 24. 7/24. I don't know. Verse 13. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Talk about worshiping the wrong object of your worship. Chapter 17 in Revelation, verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords, and the King of kings. And they that are with him are called, and chosen, and faithful, they that are with him. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, they shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Revelation 17:17. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of men. So we've gotten past, and we're going to actually take a break here. We'll finish tomorrow, but we've gotten past the a dispensation of the gospel, with the Jews and the Greeks getting to hear the gospel before it was actually broadcast in an aggressive style, or sent, I should say, commissioned to go to all people in Acts 20. And we've gotten past the time when it was commissioned to go to all people, gotten through the catching up of the body of Christ into the period when Israel has great turmoil in the tribulation. And we'll pick it up toward the end of that and try to just follow the flow of things till the end of time. We're not going to take that long with the lesson. But as we trace through, these are all Israel events, one after another. All this tribulation and stuff has nothing to do with us. I don't know that we'll even be aware of what's going on down on earth. Just the same way that now we don't have too much awareness of what's going on in the spiritual realm, even though we're seated in heavenly places and we're in a wrestling match already. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, though, but against principalities and powers in heavenly places. We're in that wrestling already. I mean, we need to put our efforts toward that instead of toward pleasing the flesh or excelling in our own, you know, human ambitions. So Anyway, what I was going to say was, this is all Israel until you get to, there's one more Body of Christ event. It's a mixture, actually, of Body of Christ and Israel. When new heaven and new earth, and we read in Ephesians 1:10, pardon me, I'm giving away tomorrow's lesson. We'll get to that tomorrow.